Hello, Emmanuel Church. This is Zach DePrima. I am with Alex. And Alex, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. I'm happy to be here. Excited about the weekend because, God willing, we're having our first service back in quite some time. And so I'm all smiles these days.
Yeah, this is very exciting. As we're recording this, we have spent 9 weeks apart as a church, which has been profoundly sobering. But with that sobriety comes a lot of rejoicing with our gathering in a few days.
I recognize 9 weeks is a lot of time, but honestly to me it feels like 9 months. It's just been a long, long time. I feel like I don't even remember what a lot of people look like.
Yeah.
You know? It feels like so long.
Yeah.
And so it'll just be, I expect a very special.
Well, and it's a shame those listening to this won't be able to see how long our beards have gotten.
Yeah.
I think yours is in the... down to your belly.
We'll have
at this
to
point.
Trim it up before we get back.
They'll never know. Well, Alex, as we look to reopen the church and on ramp back to church life, where are we in the process? Can you explain kind of where we are and what's the basic plan as of this moment?
Yeah, so we have at a number of points developed plans, and like with everybody, you develop a plan and then you get new guidance from the state or the White House or wherever, and you got to scrap that plan and do something else. We've thought about different ways to approach service. We were thinking about doing a drive-in service at one point, and for various reasons decided not to do that. And so anyway, here we are now in phase one of our states, in North Carolina, our state's plan for reopening the state. In theory, it's supposed to last at least 2 weeks. It could be longer than that. We are 1 week into that, and essentially, the governor's allowing churches to meet outdoors at to have socially distanced service. You can't meet with more than 10 people indoors. You can have an outdoor service with as many people as you want, as long as it's for religious worship. And so pretty much as soon as we realized that was available to us, with great enthusiasm, we said, we're all in. We're going to do it. And so we're having our first service back since March the 8th. We're going to meet outside behind the church building. We have a lot of parking lot there. We even have a lawn behind the parking lot and even around it a little bit. And the plan is to set up. We have ushers who have a plan in place to make sure people sit at a safe social distance. Folks are encouraged to bring their own chairs. If not, we can provide them with chairs. And we're going to have a shorter service because it'll be at 10 in the morning. The sun will be out. We recognize it might be a little warm. But it's going to be a worship service with singing and prayer, Bible reading. Of course, sitting under the preaching of God's word. And so honestly, beyond that, we have a lot of contingency plans, but I can't tell you what's going to happen after the service this Sunday. So we have plans for this service.
Right.
And then the big question is, will we enter phase two by the next Sunday? That's not yet clear as of the recording of this podcast. And then exactly what the stipulations of phase two are going to be, we don't know yet. So we know that apparently churches will be able to meet indoors at, quote, reduce capacity. What that reduced capacity is, we don't know yet.
Yeah.
We don't know social distancing, to what degree that will be a factor. So there's just a lot of things we have to find out over the next, you know, week or so before we can develop, you know, larger plans. But that's where we're at. We are preparing as though we're going to have an indoor service on May 24th, but we don't know what that's going to be like.
Great. Well, Alex, how are the leaders of the church thinking through the guidance provided by state and local governments?
So the governor, at least in North Carolina, has said most of these guidelines have the force of law, and we're more or less treating them as such. We recognize this is a legitimate place to apply the teaching of Romans 13, where we're told to submit to the governing authorities. And so it's not like the church is being singled out or something like that. Across our world, people are submitting to these sorts of restrictions. And we think it would be our responsibility, according to the Bible, to adhere to these restrictions for the time being. And I just want to say, to hopefully do so cheerfully. You know, so we're told in Romans 13 to submit to the governing authorities as we would to Christ. They're God's appointed agent. And so I think we need to recognize, in God's sovereignty, these leaders over us, whether we disagree with the restrictions or not, we got people all over the map. Some think these restrictions are downright draconian, and some think they're not strict enough, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's really not actually the point for us right now. The point is to submit to these restrictions as under the lordship of Christ. And it actually is acknowledging his lordship, I think, to say, okay, this has come down from our governor. We recognize these are temporary restrictions to abate the spread of this virus. We're not outside the will of Christ, I think, to submit to these restrictions. And so we're trying to stay within those guidelines. We want to maintain a good relationship with our city, with our state. We are seeking to submit to the guidelines that are given. That said, you know, one brother commented that we're kind of hitting our head on the ceiling of these guidelines.
Mm-hmm.
We're not inclined, I think, if I could just kind of take the temperature of the room in our church, I don't think we're inclined to want to impose more restrictions than what the government is requiring. We're kind of hitting our head on, we're going as far as the state will allow us, more or less. That's how I describe our posture.
Hmm. Well, you sort of reference it, but I've detected just within our own church that there are some that are obviously more cautious about the virus.
Sure.
And some that really aren't cautious at all about it.
Sure.
Recognizing that, how are you men trying to lead the church through differences of opinion?
We would have, I think reflected in our church what we're seeing in some ways at large in the world.
Mm-hmm.
You have some people who are extremely cautious about the virus, who are wearing PPE wherever they go. Obviously, the whole mask debate has become a very sort of fraught issue, almost a partisan issue now. Some people who are okay being in groups of 10 out in the open, you know, per the guidelines. Others who would never do that. And also you have people at different situations. I mean, some people, I've heard people comment, look, if I get this virus, it's not the worst thing in the world. And then others who have said, I really can't get this virus because I care for an aging parent. And what if they get the virus? And
right.
So you just have people in different places. I think we just recognize that's natural.
Mm-hmm.
We're not surprised by that. I think we expect that. And so in our church, you're absolutely right. There are going to be people who are especially cautious, who are not going to be ready to come back to service right away. We recognize that. We want to commend some measure of freedom in each family, you know, making their own decisions on when it's safe to re-engage in a certain measure of church activity, and which recognize it's going to be different for different people. So, you know, one of our elders, you know, is a doctor, but even you know, Lai Chow, he's not an infectious disease specialist,
mm-hmm.
and none of us are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we recognize, you know, we shouldn't assume because we've read 10 or 12 articles, we're now experts, you know, in the field or something like that. And so we want to stay in our lanes as well as elders and try to be responsive to the best information we're receiving and not pretend like we know better, you know, than the experts or something like that. But I think we're prepared. Look, we just want to commend a certain measure of freedom on this. We should assume the best motives in one another. We should be charitable toward one another.
Mm-hmm.
So if someone is a little less cautious about the virus, I shouldn't assume this is a mean-spirited person who wants to infect my whole family with COVID.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're a more cautious person, I don't need to assume you're a Marxist who, you know, wants to, you know, restrict everybody else's freedoms or something like
right.
that. We're going to have to work through this as a family and recognize there's going to be some legitimate disagreements on best practice, best policy. We're going to try to show a lot of grace to one another, a lot of charity to one another, a lot of patience, forbearance, all those things the Bible commends. And I think we'll all have to recognize, look, eventually decisions have to be made and policies have to be pursued. We hope they'll be pursued with the greatest information and hopefully a great degree of wisdom. But it's just impossible that everyone will feel the same way about this. You just have to
right.
recognize that. And yeah, let's work through it as a family. And I have a high degree of confidence, you know, we'll do that as a local church.
Hmm. Speaking of articles, I read an article from a pastor this week that said reasons reopening the church will be more challenging than closing the church. Do you agree with that?
Well, yeah, I, you know, so not at first when we were talking about closing the church or canceling service, that was a very complex discussion that became very simple very quickly.
Right.
Government shut it down.
Right.
Would have been illegal to gather. We weren't about to do that, you know. But now reopening the church, it wasn't hard. There was not much debate about choosing to have an outdoor service.
Mm-hmm.
But how to have that service, there was a lot of discussion.
Mm-hmm.
And there has subsequently been a lot of discussion.
Right.
And we've since talked to members who have given us information that's been helpful to us. And so I think there'll be a lot of issues in the life of the church that'll be hard to figure out. When do we go back to to children's activities, Sunday school, how will we think through things like nursery? The social distancing requirements are especially complex. How do you arrange the building in a way that social distancing is accommodated? Issues of entering the building, exiting the building, disinfecting spaces. That's going to take a lot of meticulous care and attention. But I don't want to act like we're the only ones having to wrestle through that.
Right.
Businesses are having to make these decisions. We're not in a position extremely different from, daycares and schools and restaurants. And we're all going to have to change the way we do a lot of things, at least for a short time. As we try to navigate,
I was helped by a couple reasons that this author gave. One of the reasons that it's more complex to open up, and how you do that is viewpoints are divided.
Yes.
But another point he just says, which I just think is so wise, he says, we've never done this before.
Yeah, so true.
Which I just have to say, as a person who's not a pastor of this church, when I'm looking at my elders and those in authority making this decision, my posture should be one of grace.
Yeah, right.
These men are figuring this out in many ways as they're going on. And if I'm a member of this church, we can all play, Monday night quarterback. We can do those things,
sure.
But we want to be able to extend some grace to our leaders. They haven't been here before.
Well, I very much appreciate that posture, and I hope that grace can be extended to all sorts of groups. I hope that grace can be extended to my local library. No one's been through this before. We're all trying to figure this out and build a plane in the air to some degree. I don't mean by that we can afford to be flippant about this or casual about it. We won't be. We're determined to create the safest environment for our people while trying to be the church. But you're right. It's decisions have to be made. We're going to do that with a multitude of counselors. We're going to seek help from medical experts and community leaders and do the best we can. And I expect our congregation is going to be gracious. And again, that idea of working through this as a family, as a church body, I'm confident we will be able to do that successfully.
Well, what's some biblical material that comes to your mind as you think through how to shepherd your flock through legitimate disagreement?
Well, I think the virtues that the Bible commends of patience and long-suffering, even in the context of legitimate disagreement, I think those all come into play at this point. I think to some degree, it's not a perfect comparison, but this almost becomes like a conscience issue for some. So let me just use kind of a really out there example. People are saying, well, perhaps the age of handshakes are over. Okay. Does the Bible require that we shake one another's hand when we greet each other? No. If someone became so sensitive to infectious diseases being spread and they decided, look, I'm just not going to shake hands anymore, I'll bow to somebody or I'll wave to them or something like that. Well, okay. Does that person have a right in their conscience to choose I'm not going to shake hands? Of course they do. And if they think, it's irresponsible really to shake hands, that's a great way of spreading diseases and germs, and I just don't think it's responsible to shake hands. I could disagree with you all day long. And as a matter of fact, I would disagree with you if that was your posture. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to try to shake hands. But should I accommodate my brother who doesn't want to shake hands? Or should I, no, you really need to shake my hand. Get over this. Should I make fun of him? Make him feel bad? Or no, I shouldn't. I should be patient with him. Long-suffering with him, And he's come to a decision in his own mind. I'm not gonna shake hands. Okay. Can we live and survive as the body of Christ? Of course we can, And so there's all sorts of, other things like that we could imagine. Again, I'm using the term legitimate disagreement a lot. There are going to be legitimate disagreements over the best way to organize the nursery as a result of this time. Well, let's be long-suffering. Let's respect one another's consciences. Let's be gracious and patient with each other. I think those are all things that come into play. The beginning of Ephesians 4, how we're to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which we've been called, that we're to be patient, that we're to exercise forbearance, we're to be eager to preserve the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. Look, I don't want to do anything to contribute to division during this time. And if that means I have to die to some rights and to die to some opinions, I'm willing to do that for the greater good. And we'll all be required to do that to some degree.
What particular words of wisdom would you give to those who are more cautious when it comes to this virus and to those who are less cautious?
Well, to those who are more cautious, I would just want to make sure, look, we all recognize this, right? To live is Christ, to die is gain. There are things worse in the world than a virus.
Mm-hmm.
And let's not act like our whole lives depend on whether or not we contract this virus. That's just a big cosmic eternal perspective. But then I would encourage them just to assume the best motives about those who think differently from them. Look, the fact is, it's very hard to access good information on this virus. And you'll see two completely contradictory studies coming out of two elite universities.
Hmm.
Now, how am I supposed to grapple with that unless I go get a degree in epidemiology or something like that? You know, so don't assume that people who are less cautious are being thoughtless about this, or that they're trying to hurt others, or that they're just, you know, right-wing libertarians who are not going to have their freedoms taken from that. Assume the best about those who are less cautious. They're not trying to hurt anybody. They might have concerns just as legitimate as yours. And so that would be my encouragement to those who are more cautious. For those who are less cautious, I'd assume the best motives of those who disagree with you. I would assume they're working with good information. They're not trying to be hypersensitive or something like that. They're trying to love their neighbors, and they're trying to be careful. And they have good priorities that they're trying to work out, priorities of safety, love, care, those sorts of things. And so those would be the things I'm commending. I can't comment on whether or not someone should be more or less cautious, really. But I can comment on how the Bible would encourage us to engage, again, legitimate disagreement. And it requires forbearance. It requires love. It requires charity. I should assume the best. And I should recognize I have to die to self in certain discussions, and I have to honor my leaders and submit to those who rule over me in the Lord and esteem them highly for their work's sake. All these things that come into play.
Alex, it's certain that this service we're having this weekend will be out of the ordinary for us, but it's likely that the next several services will be out of the ordinary from what we're used to when we gather as a church to worship Christ. How would you encourage the members of Emmanuel Church to get the most out of worshiping the Lord in this time as we begin to gather again?
I'd say bring it. Come with anticipation and expectation. Like, we have been deprived of the corporate means of grace for 9 weeks. And now we're coming back together as a people of God. Let's expect a great deal out of these services. I think it's legitimate. I mean, a lot of what we're going to do is the same thing we always do when we gather. It's going to be normal in a lot of ways, but it's also going to be unusual. And I think a sense of the moment, a sense of the occasion, how striking this time has been for so many of us and how impactful it's been, we should be looking to God to do certain things in our midst and do certain things for us and move through this situation. And I'm going to be talking about this Sunday. But this is a time, I think, to recommit ourselves to certain things, to pray for revival, to look for a restoration of church fellowship and church life. And so while we have to navigate certain restrictions on our meetings, we can look and hope that God will work in special ways as we gather with Him. We should look most of all to the presence of the risen Christ, who promises to be with us when we gather together, even if we're socially distant, you know, from one another. So I hope that our members are coming with a high degree of expectation for the things God might do in these services. One more thing I'll say, it's a great time to talk to kids about what church is. So it's a great time to emphasize what a worship service is and what it means to gather in God's presence and to worship Him. And, you know, it's a great time to grab the attention of children. Here's something unusual. We're shaken out of some of our routines. And so we're going to be, you know, in the backyard of our church this Sunday. I think that will heighten attention in some ways. And so to be talking thoughtfully to your kids about what this service means, and let the kids know you're excited about this and eager to worship God, be with the people of God together again. It's a great opportunity to clarify what the church is, that we're eager to be with God's people, not just in a service. We're gathering and assembling as the church. So I'd take advantage of those aspects. It's also a chance to talk to lost people, to invite them in to see something unusual, and to clarify what it is to gather as God's people and be the church.
Well, brothers and sisters, we love you, and we're eager to see you soon. Alex, thank you for your time.
Thank you, brother.